Welcome to Evolution Through Ascension. Are you ready? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
Wonderful. We have an amazing episode today. We have with us again, Lori Huesinger. Lori, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
It was, we had a blast talking to you last time, and I am super, super excited to talk to you again. I know Russell and I have both been talking about it all week at work.
Oh, I'm so honored. Thank you.
Yeah, we just been like a couple of kids just like waiting to unwrap Christmas presents. Like, what are we going to talk about?
You know? Nice. Okay.
So we've been talking at work. We wanted to talk about the beginning, going back to memories of everything, how everything starts within a human.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was thinking, and I even mentioned this to Jesse the other day. It's like, what's the best way to start a story? What's the best way to tell a story? And you start from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
But all these stories that we have in our minds is the true beginning in that story. How limited is that story that we tell ourselves through all of our memories that we have?
And is it even accurate anymore?
Yes, correct.
Right. Yes, I mean, I believe that memories are stored at frequency. And you access memories based on the frequency that you are presently at, okay? I mean, I'll see people shift from a negative state into a more positive state. And within moments, they're starting to keep memories of their childhood that match that same positivity that they did not remember before. So it seems to be very much connected to the emotional frequency, you know, a compatibility, if you will.
You know, I never quite thought of it like that before, but yeah, that actually makes more sense.
Yeah, when you're in a really good space, you don't really conjure up a bunch of negative memories. But if somebody makes you mad, you start remembering it. You start remembering every time somebody made you mad. I mean, it's connected to a whole string.
Yeah, and I think that's where we get ourselves in trouble, because a lot of those memories, we don't understand why exactly that we're being triggered, or we haven't done any inner work to be able to clear up why those triggers are there in the first place.
Right. And, you know, so many of those, the subtleties of that happen at such a young age that we do not have access to those memories, at least not before the healing process.
You know, that makes sense as to why when you access an older negative memory, you lower your frequency. You're accessing that memory at that frequency, and that's how you drop your vibes, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right, and it's also beneficial. You know, I mean, I think that what happens is that, you know, an event happens. But matter of fact, my daughter and I were just talking about this morning, because we're looking at possibly, what we're going to do is write a children's book about this work. But we were kind of backstepping as to when the emotional system starts to go into these difficult hardships, these low frequencies. And oftentimes it's our caretakers. And I know I can say that I absolutely did a fair amount of lesson teaching to my kids that lowered their vibration, lowered their frequency. But once that vibration lowers, they don't have access to the same level of positivity anymore, right?
Right.
But that negative lesson most often is pardon me, at the root of it, a level of self-rejection. And that bad feeling makes us pliable to learn how to be controlled, how to control our behavior, control our thoughts, control our reactions. And those low vibrations just continue to work on the underbelly of our emotional system. And they just keep repeating the process. And then as that the cycles come around and another negative thing happens as a result of low frequency programming, then we're reminded of all the other things that happened in the past that were similar. And then we're repeating again, just kind of wash and repeat. The second level of negativity happens when, of course, we reject ourselves, but then we reject that we've rejected ourselves. There's like a double whammy of suppression.
Oh yeah.
So we're not just in pain or just afraid or just angry. Now we're attacking the fact that we're afraid, that we're angry, that we're depressed. So we're trying to muscle that down. So it's a second layer of rejection, really. It's like a toxic positivity. But it's a second layer of rejection. So it kind of further damages the system. It's those suppressed emotions, by the way, when you know, first you're taught maybe to be angry at yourself or afraid of yourself, and then you try to reject that, and that goes even deeper. And that's the layer, again, that will affect the health more directly. The physical body is more sensitive to that second layer. That's the suppression model, you know, or the suppression layer. When you have that negativity, and then you work hard to suppress the negativity, and then the body goes into more imbalance. But as we're reversing all of that, you know, I'll back up. Each one of those then lowers your frequency, lowers how the mind works and how you feel, and you lose some of those good memories. So oftentimes, you know, kids will not have very many memories of their past, especially if there's been a particularly difficult interim time. But once they toggle past or shift past, in my work, I call it that, but we heal past, lots of different ways to heal. We heal past some of that emotional damage. We restore that joy, the peace, the inspiration. Then it just sparks with the memories that we store that have that same positivity to them. And that just continues to feed more positivity. And we are now evolving instead of dissolving.
It just depends on what we're adding to that story that's going in our minds, or whether we're adding negativity to it and distorting that story more from what it originally was, or if we're going back inside of it and seeing what is truthfully there, not just based upon uh-huh. a certain perception, but what actually happened. What was the truth of that
right.
matter?
Right. And oftentimes there is, you know, we're learning a lesson. We learn the most painful parts of our lesson because we're accepting somebody else's false narrative about what that particular event meant.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. You're allowing that person to put what they believe happened upon you, and you accept it, and that just messes you up even
right.
more.
Right. I think that's really at the root of most of the damage, actually, is that we keep passing on these judgments.
Yeah.
In these lessons, you know. And it's truly a great moment when you can go through a healing and you go back to the source of that, say the memory was something that happened with your father. And you go back to your father and can have a real conversation. Okay, where both parties now heal and their mind opens. That's a great moment in the journey, but it's not necessary. If you go back and the other person holds true to their, you know, more delusional perspective, then you just step back. You know, you end up stepping back from those relationships so that they have less effect on you. But you can certainly always hold in your heart that they're going to, at some point, see their own truth more clearly and heal themselves, you know, heal within themselves.
Yeah, some people, that's all you can do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's on their journey. And I, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I know that there were times I would not have been open to certain conversations about my level of responsibility and something that happened because I was so sure I was right. And now, you know, I laugh. I tell my kids, oh, I taught you that. You need to unlearn it. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's a big step, too, to admit that you were wrong and say, okay, that wasn't right. We need to get rid of that ideology. You know, I was wrong in the past. Right, I'm sorry.
Right. Because that takes me right back to my past.
Yeah.
So the healing then, you know, takes on another whole dimension. Another person then goes back in their memories and starts to look at their real truth.
Yeah, if you can just do that, that's a good way for both of you to go back, like you said, and go back to that moment in time and heal it and then grow back from there.
Right. And if somebody can't do that, if they're not willing to participate in that, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you stay in a relationship with somebody who is resisting taking responsibility or taking a real look at themselves, then there's going to be a constant tension there as you're holding your truth in a relationship that is looking for more of a delusion to take the, to take truth's place, if you will.
Yeah,
and there can be a lot of tension in that.
Yeah, that never works out.
You'll probably, but there's a lot of honor in that too. I mean, you can go either way. You can choose to remove yourself from it. You can stay in the middle of it. Try to stay strong. It will affect your own ability to maintain a high frequency. But sometimes there's other reasons why that's totally acceptable for an individual, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody picks their own healing.
Absolutely. You know, and especially if you're growing and learning and changing and the other person is not, and they want to be stagnant, that creates so much distortion and tension and stress. That relationship's never going to last, whatever the bounds of the relationship may be.
Right. And oftentimes you'll find that that's when a partner gets, or the other person will get quite sick.
Yeah.
You know, most of my focus has been really on how all these issues affect physical health. But you will find as one partner really starts to grow and another partner has a hard time with that, then some catastrophic illness sets up.
Because
go ahead. Go ahead. No.
Because, say, like in our relationships that we have, the other person that's not doing the work, they're seeing a reflection and seeing that the other person is changing, but they don't understand why, and so they could also be putting it on themselves that, What am I doing, or even judging that other person even more by what they're going through because they don't understand them anymore. Their perspective has changed. They act differently, and they could be questioning all kinds of stuff that would be probably so far off base as to what's going on that it makes it harder on the other person, and it makes it harder to coexist with each other.
Yeah, you know, making assumptions that aren't even correct, and that just further distorts everything.
Yeah.
Right. And then if those are not agreed with, so now you've got two people. Let's just, you know, give an extreme scenario. You've got one person who wants to blame and the other person who's willing to take on the guilt, take on the submissive role. And the person in the submissive role will then tend to probably be the weaker link because they have accepted something bad about themselves and then they double down on themselves and even reject their own rejection because that's part of that cycle. The other person can be much more aggressive with their emotional tendencies because somebody's willing to accept it. And so their health will generally be less affected. Because they haven't sequestered it down into the body.
Right.
So the the person who's more submissive, maybe they go through a healing and they get more clear and they want to come back and have conversations so that the relationship can be more balanced for them. If the other person does not accept that, but now no longer feels the benefit of this, of their partner taking on all the responsibility, then they will start to sequester their emotions down into their body, and then they get sick.
Yeah, that
whole, so as one is healing, the other one is suppressing.
Yeah, that's just a vicious cycle right there. That's, and it's all just really just miscommunication.
Yeah, that's the most, you know, when it comes time, I'm surprised even in myself at times when certain really core issues come roaring to the surface and it's time for me to say something, how much anxiety. And I've done work on myself emotionally for, you know, probably 30 years, but since I developed this work, at least 15. And still, something will hit a real core issue for me. And the level of anxiety that rises with that. And then I pull that in, and then I can speak my truth without judgment and with more clarity. And I can be more open and simultaneously feel better overall, physically and emotionally. But it still amazes me how much juicy, powerful emotional energy rides in on our deepest truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really takes a leap of faith to just decide that you're going to do that and tackle that issue, to dive into it, you know, and not be scared of what you're going to find or what's going to happen.
Yeah, you have to be willing to face your pain.
Yeah.
Or willing to be scared. Yeah. It's not even to try to do it without fear, but to be, you know, and that's what, to me, that's the beauty of the toggling work or this cognitive polar transformation that I developed, is that when the fear comes up to say something, then you recognize your relationship in that nanosecond is with the fear itself. The fear itself is going to be converted. You recognize that it's going to give you all the insight and power you need for this other truth to come to the table.
I like how you said that in that nanosecond, because having the awareness to catch it when it's happening and not allowing yourself to get emotionally elevated to where the ego kicks in, all those thoughts start, or the narrations really starts kicking in, you start, you know, blaming, you know, guilt, whatever, that of in that nanosecond catching it and noticing that you actually have the power to make the change in that moment.
Yes. And then accepting the changes that take place, you know, I mean, there's times when, you know, a calm conversation is what's needed. Sometimes it's walking away that is needed. Sometimes it's raising your voice. And that may be exactly what's needed, but just recognizing that that emotional energy is going to give you the tools you need in the moment that you're in.
Yeah.
And the person who's attacking you is going to look for any reaction from you and further attack, because they're trying very hard to get back into control of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. If they start feel that they're out of control, they'll do anything they can to bring you back down.
That's going
to
be the ego-related thought processes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, there's times when I, you know, and I've struggled with this, but I might, you know, there's one particular conversation, and I definitely get to the point where I'm raising my voice. But later, I never really felt like that was necessarily an attack. I raised my voice so that I could be heard. When I realized I wasn't being heard, then I shifted and made another move. But later, the criticism was, well, you raised your voice. I was like, because I wasn't being listened to, you know? So as I was pulling in all of the energy around that, my voice level did go up. And, you know, this is that the ego taking over, or is that the higher mind taking over? And I just trust that if I am pulling in that emotion, and the next thing that happens is the next thing that needs to happen. Well, and when I leave those situations, then I'm calmer, more relaxed, more clear on the taking care of myself.
It's really going to come from the state of mind as well, because an attack on either yourself or the other individual is going to be pointing a finger. Somebody has to be guilty. There has to be blame assigned. That's what attack is going to be. But when you're stating the truth, and like you said, if they're not listening, of course, things could get elevated a little bit, but you're not doing it in a way that you're saying that you're better than them. It's nothing like that. There is a difference.
The conversion doesn't, you're right, it doesn't deliver a counter attack.
Correct.
It delivers a boundary. It delivers a clarity on what you really want to accept and what you don't want to accept. But it's not the same as an attack on another person.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big difference. That's two different states of being that are in control of that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know? And yeah. So I don't know if that was that was necessarily in line with what where you guys were going with this, but I think that's an interesting piece, is that we expect in the higher mind that it may be, that it should look like all love and light and calm and relaxed, when that's not necessarily the case. There are some more aggressive moves that we may make, but they are not made out of a desire for any harm, but only to set boundaries of what is acceptable within your experience, you know, what you really want coming into your circle.
Yeah, you know that all this information has to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we can have a roadmap, but that doesn't mean that that's where the universe is going to have us go necessarily.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
but I think this is good. But in relation to the memories, yes, it will bring up memories.
Yeah,
that will vibrate at those same frequencies. And, but that leads us to more of our own emotional storage compartment that we can convert. And as we convert it, then we realize that we are now empowered to a new level of function, because, you know, we're really always growing. I don't know if there is a point of stagnation that lasts very long. Either people will dissolve or they evolve.
Yeah, one of the two.
There's still points within there, but there's still a tendency toward movement.
Yeah, we're always growing and evolving in some way. But those still points, I believe, are the most perfect time for reflection, because now you have a stiller space that really nothing is going on, but you can have that time to look to see where you are. You can essentially take kind of a measurement to see where you were and where you are now and where you could possibly be in the future with this new understanding or knowledge or your new state of being, your new vibration that you're at, that now you're having these new experiences to see, you know, what experiences you were having before and what you're having now and what the difference is. And you can see your growth in those time periods.
Yes, absolutely. It's beautiful. Getting to know oneself and love that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Are we really digging inside of ourselves and seeing our true self? But all of those memories, a lot of them are creating a false belief of self, which we don't really know what to use as a reference, because we don't truly know what we are.
I know, but that's the whole human dilemma.
What are we?
powerful. I'll tell you that, because yeah. every lesson is trying to teach you that you're not.
Oh, yeah, I love every lesson now. It's constant, right? Constant deepening of that growth.
Yeah. Some of them are even comical.
Yeah. But the transformation is so beautiful.
Yeah. It is. It's painful and it's messy. And I had a friend of mine, come into the room yesterday, and he was like, "I helped somebody toggle." He was so excited. And he teaches science. He's very involved in space and teaching the astrophysics. And when he came in, and I said, he was talking to me about how he helped this person go through the shift. And I said, "It's intimidating, isn't it?" He said, "It is so intimidating. This is so powerful."
Yeah. But I mean,
it's subtle, but powerful.
Anybody that you can help change just a little bit, I mean, that is so powerful right there. Just helping them course correct just that much more.
Right. Exactly. You know, if they can just change one belief about themselves, that will change the entire trajectory. You know, it makes a little shift here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a subtle feeling when you shift an emotion. But the long-term effect of that completely changes the course of your life.
Yeah, because it will continue to compound itself. You are given the opportunity to have more choices now, more possibilities, even greater outcomes than what you had before. And you're also affecting the closest ones around you, because now you are acting and behaving in a more positive and loving way. And other people will learn from that, just from being in contact with you. They're just learning from example.
Yes, it is definitely contagious in that way. You know, you're automatically, was it Marianne Williamson? You're automatically, when you accept the light within yourself, you're automatically giving everyone else permission to accept the light in themselves.
Absolutely.
And we're always continuously learning from example in some way, whether it be, you know, in our external environment, from our loved ones, people that we work with, the closest people that are in our circles. We're always learning something somewhere, but what are we learning? What are the examples that we are being shown? Are we taking upon more positivity, or are we taking upon more negativity?
Right. And there's no right or wrong answer. You know, the beautiful thing is we're taking on where we need to go. If you take on the negativity, then it will certainly continue to give you cycles to show you that you've chosen a path, a perception that's going to be more painful.
Yeah.
Once you are tired of the pain itself is the antidote in this work. You know, you draw the pain in, you draw those painful emotions in, they go through a conversion, and immediately the mind starts lighting up to new possibilities and things you would not have thought of. And then you take a different kind of step, and then you feel a little better. And so it mirrors you from that pain path to more of a pleasure path.
Yeah, it's getting yourself or somebody else to realize that that they're done suffering, and that they do want to make a positive change in their life. You know, they've had enough of suffering in life. That's, a lot of people aren't done with that. They don't realize they're not, but they're still not done suffering. So they still keep choosing bad or negative situations to keep putting themselves through.
They're still on that hamster wheel.
Yeah, until they finally decide that they've had enough of having enough.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you look and you see too that our whole culture offers a lot of benefits to people who have suffered. Again, there's a lot of attention and benefit that we can gain I give an example of, I was working with some veterans and teaching them the work. And one of the veterans became quite concerned. He goes, if I, you know, I'm feeling better, if I can't say I have this disability anymore, what happens to my disability income?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I can't advise you on that. No. I don't know what to tell you. But it was a great question. You know, there, once we've gone through damage and we've had this, we have the Medal of Honor of what we've come through, and the society is willing to give us a certain amount of support, and then we become, you know, we lean on that support. We expect that kind of support. And there is a point at which, as we learn to stand up stronger, we need to let go of the, some of that support system. And that's another, you know, that's another layer of difficulty. In some ways, I'd almost really rather work with the younger veterans that are very newly into their difficulty.
Yeah.
So because they still have a strong memory of the strength they want to recover. They haven't had decades of the disadvantage and made that a lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's understandable. That's...
It's where that the fear of lack jumps in, like the forefront of your mind of I will be at a loss if I lose this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of the ego jumps in to say, well, hang on a second. What are you doing? No, yeah. you're going to be less of a person if you don't have this anymore. There may be a fight there to kind of jump back in front of it and say, okay, no, I can't lose anything anymore. But I mean, not even knowing that there's a possibility of gain at the end of all of it, that you will be gaining, you won't be losing anything.
Right. It's in personal experience, and we don't know how to quantify that in our culture. We haven't been given the measuring tools for that. You know, if you watch them like a documentary on happy people, and find that oftentimes it's people who are in the most desperate poverty that they are finding these people who live with the highest level of happiness, kind of proving that your happiness is, as we know, is not dependent on having things. The reason they have to make a documentary about that is because we've been indoctrinated with the idea of having things is the root of happiness. So, you know, seeing that that is a facade, it's delusional, is valuable in our entertainment, so that people begin to comprehend that you can have a good life without all the stuff we hang on to, just by creating a really good, seasoned, grounded, vibrant internal emotional life and the spiritual connection.
Yeah, because a lot of people aren't in touch with their inner being. They're only focused on what the external world is doing. They're a victim of their circumstances. But seeing from that perception, not even knowing that it's our inner universe is what actually controls the quality of our outer experience, our reality.
Absolutely. You know, we live in a country where buying and selling everything is the way of life. That's the only focus. Commerce. So, I mean, people have grown up thinking that that is the way of life.
Mm, and just got lost in it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was reading a book years ago called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And it was interesting. Oh my gosh, it's a great little book. It was talking about how when you go into maybe the jungles and you have these tribes that have had everything given to them, they live in harmony with nature. That the way that the sort of Western impulse comes in is you start to decimate water supply, food supply, and then those people become desperate and need to come to you, and you sell them the things they got naturally And in that, now they have to have a job. They have to accept your authority. So it's an interesting way in which we have learned through those memories, you know, through those lessons, how to accept the outside authority who is now going to dole out the gifts that promising to restore your happiness when your happiness was really mostly obliterated when you abandoned your inner authority and replaced it with the outside. And again, that goes back to those lessons we learned as kids.
Oh yeah. You know? Absolutely.
And, you know, we train our kids how to, you know, be afraid, to be ashamed, to be, to be subservient. We train them little ways because that's what fits into our social structure.
Oh yeah. I'm your parent. You better, you know, you have to do what I say, you know, right now, or
that's right.
You're in trouble. So
because I said so,
yeah.
Or I'm going to take things away from you. Right.
Right. And take your toys away, you know, time out, whatever.
And also programmed with things like you're not good enough to do this, or you don't have the capability to do this. You know, you're not smart enough. Stuff like that is being programmed from the get-go that is affecting our adult lives now because we haven't, for the most part, went in and tried to adjust any of that.
Right, right. And yeah, exactly. It opens the door. Just regular discipline does open the door for mean-spirited discipline. And that's just another layer of this negative programming that gets thrown out there. And, you know, you may be able to raise your child with a healthier emotional system, but their best friend's parents may be the ones that throw those jabs. And so kids are going to be exposed to this. Somewhere. I think it's part of our collective experience at some level or another that we have been bombarded with some of these lessons and we have to go back through the healing process. But I think that's what we're here for anyway.
Yeah, we
are. It's just to understand and be able to take command and understanding and develop mastery over our own being, our own emotional system, and understand how the mind works, how the mind and the emotions integrate, and using those as tools for our progress and our desire to be a part of a community.
Yeah. I think it would actually
ask, receive, and share.
It would make life more fun.
Yeah.
Because you are your best science experiment.
Yes. You know, absolutely. And as you're experiencing these positive emotional states, and then you see what your brain is doing, and then you recognize what you want to do with that, it's a creative process. We are creators, you know, and we're creating or making something everywhere we go.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we're creating something.
You know, as society grows and heals, hopefully it does, from these... I guess these current lessons that we're manifesting for us to learn as we grow and heal from that, we'll at some point be introduced to a whole different level of emotional lessons that we can grow and learn from as society as a whole progresses and grows up together.
Oh, wow. It would be beautiful to see that transformation.
Yeah.
Where humanity is actually understanding itself now. The collective consciousness is healing itself, and you have you have a different slate to work from now.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah, you'll always have lessons to learn. It'll just be different as you move on from the old.
Yeah,
new stuff to grow from.
Our desire to create will continue to evolve and mature.
Yeah,
but and we'll need more. You know, we'll need more juju for that, and so.
I think that we would start to work more towards harmony, creating for more a harmonious humanity versus being attacking, separated.
Yes.
Wars, anything like all of that would just disappear because we would realize that there's no need for it whatsoever.
Right.
That is what is keeping us further separated from each other. If we were to work together as a collective, more harmonious, we're going to get a lot further just with the overall raising of humanity.
Yeah.
With everything.
Yes. And I have spent a fair amount of time out on the ocean on a sailboat. And it's easy to equate our power in, you know, my experience as a healer and of the emotional system and the mind when you look out at the water. You know, sometimes it's calm and tranquil, and other times it's throwing you from one side to the other. But the ability to be able to just move and roll with the motion, even when it's powerful and potentially destructive, but to be able to assimilate and pull in everything you feel and then just move with all that movement is part of the vitality of life, not necessarily producing a state of constant, perpetual calm. But that no matter what comes after or comes at you, if you will, that you can metabolize it and become part of that experience and have that visceral power experience within yourself. And then things calm down and then you go through another part of your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like what you just said there, the bigger lesson is to be able to adapt to the experience, integrate it into self, learn from it, and become a little bit stronger, better version of yourself, and move on from the rocky waters.
Right.
As we gain our self-confidence or self-worth, we start to learn that we can do this naturally. It's not something that we don't have to resist anymore. We have more of a resilience now to be able to work through things and be able to recover more quickly if the waters have been really choppy. We have the ability now and more tools in our toolbox to be able to get us through that event and to be able to make it on the other side and get calm faster, get back to a state of peace faster, and be able to actually work through what we just went through.
Absolutely.
Right. And I would even equate it to an experience that I've had recently. And that's with the COVID. You know, COVID has stirred up a lot of anxiety and a lot of judgment and a lot of confusion. And so we try to acquiesce as best we can. From the very beginning of it, I worked on pulling in the COVID. It's like, I'm going to pull in the whole idea that this virus is right in front of me. I'm going to just visualize it. I'm going to pull it in so that I can stabilize my system. It won't be in a constant fear reaction to all of this information. And that worked really well. And then we had somebody at work who came down with COVID, and my daughter and I worked together, and then we both had to go get tested, and we both ended up with a positive COVID test. And so then there was a second wave. We would call each other on the phone because we're in quarantine. We'd call each other on the phone, say, okay, what are you feeling today? She's like, oh, I just feel so guilty that, you know, maybe I was the one who gave it to you. And I was like, good, feel guilty. I said, imagine I'm going to be dead by the end of the week. Now, feel that fear and that guilt, pull it all in. And we would just work with each other. And my fear was a dread that it may get passed on to my grandchild, who was diabetic, and that I lived in their household. And so I was pulling in this dread. And we just kept each other in a really good, strong place by embracing the potential disaster of the situation. And as we embraced that and kept pulling it in, we both came through it pretty much asymptomatic. Very strong on the other side, and nobody else around us caught anything. You know, none of their tests came back positive. So it was interesting riding the rough waters, if you will, like I said, you know, of that particular scenario, because that's been a global terror now for the better part of a year.
In a way, it's like a deep submitting.
Oh, yeah.
For the both of you.
Right.
But submitting is...
It's a total faith to God.
Yeah, that's such a powerful state to be in at that point when you've submitted, that it is a release.
Submitting and accepting and going on.
Yeah.
Yes. And as you pull in all that, you know, we're both very well versed in this. You pull in that terror, that dread, that guilt, and it converts and the mind just relaxes and finds that still point.
Yeah, you know, because you didn't try and reject it. You didn't try and make up any stories. You didn't blame, you know, each other or anybody. There's no extra energy being expended for any of that nonsense. You accepted it. You both dove into it, worked with it, accept the situation, and you came, like you said, you came out on the other side a much better version of yourselves.
Exactly.
And now you don't have to go back and try and erase memories that are now created because you made up stories about the situation. So now you're that much more free of a human.
Yeah.
Right. And much more, you know, mentally relaxed. Once you've been through it, you know, you've been asymptomatic or you had mild symptoms and the body didn't go into a crisis. That gives you a lot more emotional freedom even on the other side of it.
You know what? That is so liberating and freeing just to know that you did that situation and handled it maturely. You know, that in itself is just kind of like, oh, okay, I got through it. That's done. Now I don't even have to worry about it. There's nothing there to think about.
I still wear my mask. Right. I mean, I still follow all of the socially acceptable, you know, restrictions. I'm still careful, but the internal world is so calm and relaxed.
Smooth seas,
yes. After the storm, right? But in the middle of the storm, you just pull it all in. We were in the middle of not a storm, but just really confused seas late at night once out on the sailboat. And there was no moon, so you couldn't see anything. You couldn't even see the sails. It was so dark out there.
Uh-oh.
And the seas were just thrashing. So you couldn't hold, you couldn't use autopilot or the auto steering because it was just too rough on the mechanics of the boat.
Right.
So you had to hold the wheel, but every time a wave hit you, you were veering off, of course. And then you had to correct, and then it would throw you the other direction, and you had to correct. And that could have been just exhausting. You spent hours, you know.
Yeah.
I took over the captain of the boat. He was exhausted, so you know, he needed to get some sleep. So I took over for a few hours. But I just got to the place where I just pulled in the force of the wave every time it hit the boat, just pulled it in. And so what happened is it was the same basic work, but my internal energy was so much more stable. I just got to the point where I would just close my eyes, pull in the power of that wave, and then make the correction, pull in the power of the next wave, make that correction. I'd open my eyes long enough to just look at the GPS and see that we were staying moderately on course, and I was able to sustain for several hours that way.
Do you consider yourself being in a super conscious state during that?
Oh yeah, but totally just in the moment of pulling in energy.
Wow.
You know, I really, my anticipation, if I had, you know, been told I was going to be in that situation, I would have been, wow, I hope I don't freak out, you know,
right?
Because you wonder, you're a little boat out in the big ocean. These waves are big. It's dark. You know, whatever the storyline is, you can create all kinds of stuff out of it. But what this technique that I work on with myself has afforded me is I can just stay in the moment of it and actually enjoy the power that was happening all around me and just actually embrace that.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Literally just diving into it, not creating stories in the moment about it, and just accepting it and working through it.
And just being in the moment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just doing what you have to do in the moment.
Yeah, there's no extra, there's no stories that you're making up that you got to deal with later. You know, that's...
Right.
You have all that energy.
You're exhilarating.
Yeah.
And it's probably the freest moment you'll ever have. Yeah. When you're in Maybe. That state.
The roughest moment is the freest moment. So
awesome. Yeah. And yeah.
That in itself is liberating.
It is. It is absolutely liberating. And, you know, I was really pleased. I spent about 3 or 4 months out on this boat and, having a lot of experience. And I'm from Albuquerque, so it's all desert. You know, this is a really new world for me. But in retrospect, I'm really pleased I spent that time out there. And, just so that I could challenge, the whole goal was to challenge myself, knowing that I had this work in my toolbox, and to see what kind of hardships, what kind of issues we would run into, and how I would personally handle them. That was my, really my primary mission, my own growth, getting out of my box, of safety.
So you invited that in, you manifested it to test yourself, and now you know exactly where you are at developmentally.
Yes.
That's beautiful. That story that you have, that's kind of like what Russell's been working on for the past couple of weeks there with his returning back to the starting point with getting rid of all of the memories there. That's, that's when we were talking about not even creating stories in the moment, just like with being out on the sea or with the COVID situation, there's nothing to go back and erase if you're not creating stories about it along the way. You don't even have to go back to the beginning to undo those because you never created them.
Well, in the fears, any of the stress that came up during that time, I made my focus to keep my mind open and pull in the stress and just function from that space. Had I chosen instead to give story to the stress, it would have been a completely different experience.
Yeah.
The stress was there, but the conversion was the difference, because we can either be reactive and then, pull on any story and any fear, even make one up in our heads that would justify the fear, or you pull the fear in and it gives you the ability to handle the situation. The fear is the antidote. It is the medicine if you are proactive and you pull it in and convert it.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. And we've been taught and conditioned our entire lives to push away all of that stuff that's inside us and not to think about it. We do everything that we can to avoid our pain, to avoid our past. But that is the antidote for what is going to make us evolve as beings. And I think that this is just now coming out within the past decade or so, that this is the way forward for all of us. It's a new relearning of how we should be as people, as individuals, and what this does for the collective if the majority is doing this. Everyone is going to start getting gain from this. Everyone is going to start evolving as the overall collective is healing itself.
Oh yeah. And it's like, like I've mentioned to Russell several times in our audience, I love situations like this. Like we're talking to you, Lori, and meeting Russell. I have over the years developed the mindset of using any technique that works, not just sticking to what I've learned over the years, but I love integrating all of this. And it's helped me grow and learn so much as a human being in my travels. So this is, and it's like your work is matching up beautifully, like with everything that Russell and I talk about. So it's just like what Russell just said, it's like the universe is bringing everything together so that way society can start to grow and learn and heal. It's all, the pieces are all starting to drop in place.
Right. And as we heal, then we come into our power. And our power, I believe, is as creators.
Oh, yes. And we realize that we are the creator.
Yeah.
We are the, right, exactly. We can attribute that to a Godhead, that we were created in the image of the creator, or that we ourselves are parts of God. We are God. however we want to frame that, but that we, our power is to create. And I think I said it in the last podcast, but my favorite quote out of the Course of Miracles is, you will make things out of fear and you will fear what you make. You will create things out of love and you will love what you create.
Yeah. And that's perfect. That's exactly what we do too. And it's, you know, whether people are aware of it or not, that's exactly what we're doing.
Right. But we are just insatiably creative. We so want to like do something and make move something and, you know, produce something and, you know, give ourselves that satisfaction and then extend it to others. And they want to do the same. And that is such an important part of our human psyche at the highest level.
Yeah. As we heal our past, we become more creative. We become, you know, our imaginations start to really flow and start to come up with all these new ideas and new ways of doing things and things that you want to make or you want to paint or sing, or it's just that the inner child really starts to come out now and you get to re-experience how you felt as a child of learning new things and getting to have new experiences and all the stimuli that you get from it. And it's so boosting and rewarding and getting to experience life in a new way now that you kind of lost when you grew up, you know.
Yeah, every negative emotional programming, you lose it. You lose aspects of your creative power.
Yeah, it's the more we go into our adult years, you lose a lot of that creativity. You become more stagnant.
You lose your imagination.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you wonder why your life's not going the way you wanted it to go. And
right.
Waking up and realizing that you lost your creativity.
Right. And you wouldn't even know what you wanted to create. You know, I can remember I had a spiritual experience when I was doing treatments at my clinic in Albuquerque. And Spirit just kept telling me, Lori, what do you want? Lori, what do you want? And I was like, oh, well, I had all these ideas, what I wanted for everybody else. And I was stopped short every time. No, what do you want? And my reaction to that was rage. At first, I completely rejected the idea that I needed to find out what I wanted for myself. And then the second one was rage because I didn't want to put the energy into that and find out I couldn't have it. I'd rather not even want it.
Wow. That's fear of rejection.
So,
that's a vicious cycle right
fear
there.
Fear of the rejection, fear of loss. All of that came roaring to the surface. And I had to laugh and go, do I really think the spirit world can't handle my anger if that's the case? And that was pre-toggling, okay? That was pre this work breakthrough. But it took me a few weeks. And then I finally said, all right, I'm game. I'll decide something that I want. And then I completely surprised myself that I wanted to teach, but I had no idea what I wanted to teach. All of the modalities I knew did not interest me enough to want to teach them. So I just set the intention. I want to teach something. And within just a few weeks, the breakthrough of toggling happened, CPT. And I have been teaching at former level ever since.
That's amazing. You set the intention and it happened for you.
Got to give the universe a little bit of time to get caught up with what you're wanting so it can manifest it. That's so beautiful. I love that.
Yes. That was, but I can appreciate when people are not ready, you know, why they're not ready, because the pain of the losses that we've had, the loss of our ability to even want, is more than we really want to grapple with, but yet that pain is the antidote.
Yep.
That pain delivers the very energy you need to set those intentions, to start the creative process going, to reprime that engine, you know?
Yeah. Well, it comes down to we had talked about this a few episodes ago about the beliefs of self. And if our beliefs of self are a certain perspective about how we view ourselves, how we view the world, it gets us wrapped up in this structure of how our thought processes work, that it keeps going back to what we're not, what we're in comparison to everything else. And so when we try to work out things in our head for what we want, we get so off base just from our simple programming of the beliefs of what we think that we are. And it ends up hindering us because we can't essentially find the truth because we don't know what the truth is. And especially if the ego starts getting involved in it and we have a busy mind that is attacking us through this process, a lot of people just give up. They don't even want to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right. And they're defeated before they've started anything.
Right, right. And that is, that's a major handicap for most all of us, is to overcome at some point what we think we aren't in order to find out what we are. Mm. Because most of the things that we aren't, and when we get really honest and clear, is not even stuff we want. We didn't want to be that thing that we aren't.
Yeah.
But we have been conditioned to believe that that is a sign of inadequacy, so we are afraid to really dive into what we are. We've been, we accept that negative emotional lesson of being less than. And again, that feeling of being less than, pull it in. Yeah, you'll never get it. I told one client, she said, I'm just afraid that I just, I'll be the only one who can't do this work. And I was like, you probably will be. Everyone else in the world is going to get it except you. I said, there, that feeling right there. And that's the one you pull in. And by accentuating her lack of confidence, she could grasp it and pull it in and convert it. Of course, with this guidance, and then she was sailing with the work after that. It just restored her confidence.
Oh, that's awesome.
Focus in on that lack of confidence, expound upon it, and then pull it in and convert it, and it becomes the antidote. It is the thing that you needed to give you the confidence. And it's not a false confidence. It just gives you that deep knowing, and you just take the next three steps,
Yeah. But as you do heal, then you do essentially gain that confidence, though.
Yeah.
But you gain it in a natural way, in a truthful way, to where you know what your confidence is. You know where it comes from now.
It's confidence is a natural state of just knowing yourself. And so when you convert the unnatural state of the fear and the not knowing, it has no choice but to convert back. That's the toggle effect. It's one or the other. And it converts back into your natural state. And your natural state is the state of knowing. And I think that's what Christ meant when he said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountains to fall to the sea. They wouldn't be able to help it. And I thought to myself when I read that, I was like, what is it about a mustard seed? Is it the quantity?
Yeah.
Is he saying if you barely had a speck of confidence, you could do this? No. It took me a little bit of time, but it slowly occurred to me that it was the quality. The mustard seed does not doubt itself. It doesn't say, I'm not an iris, therefore I can't grow. It's the tiniest seed, and it becomes the greatest tree because it does not have the capacity to doubt itself.
Okay, I'm glad that you said it that way, because there is a difference of quality of confidence, because you can have two different types. One of the confidence, which would be kind of overconfident, would come from the ego. Mm. That's coming from a different place, but you think that it's confidence, but it's actually trying to cover up something else.
That's the false. That's where the suppression model comes in. You're absolutely right. You reject the rejection of yourself and you become overt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the second dynamic in the emotional system when it goes into a low frequency. That is that you overcompensate because you're still reacting to fear.
Yep.
Okay, what is the fear? You can't do it, so you don't try. The other is a fear that you can't do it, therefore you over-exaggerate everything driven by that fear. Yep. And that is not confidence either.
Yeah.
Both of those have the potential of failure because they're coming from the vibration of fear.
Yep. That's absolutely correct. But if you have the confidence from your inner being, you have peace that goes along with that confidence. And no matter what, whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. You're in a state of calm and knowing that you have the capability and the power to be able to move through whatever it is that you're doing or whatever you're trying to create. That peace is there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when it comes into the action part of life, where our confidence, you know, lack of confidence can be more easily identified, is when it comes time to do something. The conversion of that fear, that despair, that overenthusiasm, as you pull it all in, it restores specifically love and joy. And love and joy is a little more, it's more active than peace. In peace is where we set our intention. And then it moves into inspiration as we make the plans and decisions. And then that moves into love and joy where we've just got to be active and we got to do. But the love and the joy is really the experience of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in its truest form, that love and joy activates, and then we get, you know, we have contentment as we feel the contentment of what we've done, and then it moves into gratitude. We put everything in order, we kind of sort through, and then we come back into peace and we set our intention. And it's this beautiful orchestra of these positive emotions that are the machinery, the mechanics of creativity.
Yeah.
Each one playing their part, just like instruments in an orchestra.
Yeah, it takes the whole orchestra to make corrections and to manifest and get things flowing properly in the right direction.
I like how you structured that too, because you really built that up.
Yeah.
And as you start to gain the gratitude now, you're starting to gain love. Well, you're having an overall acceptance and overall just a gratitude of everything that's going on. Well, living in that perspective, it's gain. You're getting constant gain from everything that you're doing now.
Oh yeah. That's, you're getting that feedback response.
And everything really builds and unfolds, and the dynamic of your life really starts to pick up at that point.
Right. And then when you look at, if you take a look at sort of the alternate mechanics that go screwy and haywire, you go into the negative emotions of each of those systems. So in the positive, you have peace. In peace, you rest. In peace, you set your intention. And then that starts to activate some inspiration, right? That's what we were saying a second ago.
Yeah.
And then that inspiration, you make your plans and decisions, which then starts to activate the juiciness of action, that love and joy. And then, you know, the contentment. And then that gratitude that brings you back to peace. But they flip. And fear becomes afraid of the future, afraid of oneself of the future, which immediately skips plans and decisions and goes straight into anxiety of action. When you're afraid of the future, then the anxiety immediately starts to hit of when it's time for me to do something. Then that immediately starts to activate fear of loss. Okay, then the idea of losses and what's going to be taken from you, that then activates the anger issues. Of the anger of things that have been lost, and then that activates worry of you. Now you can't connect to your circle because all this negative emotional stuff has really disabled you from true connections and true manifesting. And so you've just completely haywired the whole system.
That kind of it's what happens during the dark night of the soul when somebody is going through the beginning stages of a spiritual awakening, that they're questioning their reality and how the outcomes are now going to change based upon their new behaviors, thoughts, actions, choices, whatever. and getting themselves down in this rabbit hole of what the hell am I now, and how is the future going to be? We always focus on like the worst case scenario. Mm. And the ego really helps us out with that too. Just that fear of the unknown of what is going to happen. But really seeing this as, if you're able to gauge that you are healing, giving it some time and allowing that healing to be able to propagate itself.
Yeah.
Allowing yourself to get to a new baseline of you and coming to acceptance of this new you.
And community is really helpful for that. What you guys are doing is so helpful for that, because you allow that networking to be confirmation of the healing process, because we need that connection to others. And as each of us are going through healing and we start to validate the positivity of that healing, it becomes stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish that we're able to network more, and people at this stage in their journey, being teachers and healers, of being able to teach and heal more, so that others can be able to learn from their experience. They can learn how to teach from their experience, and so they can be able to heal others as well.
It is our natural tendency on the healing journey, the healing experience. Shifting back into that positivity is to extend and share.
Yeah, absolutely. That's and that's what I've said, you know, to our audience before. You know, Russell and I are not by any means, we don't have it all figured out, and we're definitely not, you know, we're not anybody's guru. We just a couple of guys who've managed to figure some stuff out, and now we want to get it out there and hopefully that helps people start to wake up and learn and grow and heal themselves. You know, we're at that stage where we figured enough out to where we can start to, you know, teach it and get it out there.
No, I love it. I love it. You know, it's, you know, I've spent a lot of time sort of being seen somewhat as a practitioner, a guru, a teacher, and I have not extended myself to the place to be able to do what you guys are doing. I find it, you know, beautiful what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're doing it.
Yeah, no, it's serious.
You're doing it in your own way with the toggling, though. You're doing the same thing that we are. We're just doing it from our perspective.
You put it into print, and you had a practice, and we're doing it on a podcast. I mean,
yeah.
Right. Well, at every step of the way, it challenges me to get stronger and stronger in my core, to take my work the next step. To the next step, you know? So, I recognize the work that I've had to do on myself, because I had a tremendous amount of lack of confidence, lack of real belief in myself and my value as a person. I always believed in the value of the work, but the value of myself was really challenged, and I wanted to just keep focusing on the value of the work and sort of ignore that other piece. But I've had to force myself into that other piece and look at the value of myself just as a person, and really come to terms with that, and using my process as the tool of correction. And it's joyful, and I realized that's where we're all headed, is just accepting and loving ourselves. And from that, all of the positivity of your work flourish even more. But without that piece, the work itself by itself isn't going to really make the strides that it could make without you allowing yourself to come along on the ride with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I come from a very abused background. And so I had a fair amount of stuff I had to contend with and face off with and pull in, you know, each time.
I think that's a natural, part of the structure of a healer's learning objective.
Yeah.
That whatever happened in the past was absolutely there for a reason, to give you that fuel for your awakening.
Yeah, how are you going to know what you're talking about if you don't go through it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And there's also the part of the journey where you just think that it's going to be too hard.
Yeah.
And you'd just rather somebody else take the everything you wrote, everything you did, and let them just run with it. And I have tried to do that several times. No, 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 you guys do it. You do it. You're going to be better at it. You know, and it ends up falling right back in my lap again. I'm like, oh man, why did they just run with it?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've definitely had that fear myself, that not having enough value or having that imposter syndrome. You know, like do I know enough to be worthy of teaching people, or you know, am I doing this right? You know, and it's just getting over that self doubt. Or that lack, you know, that exists within, and realizing you know, that you're good enough and you're doing it right, and you did figure out enough information, and it's time now to start getting it out there. You know, it's okay.
Right. Yes. And, you know, allowing yourself to dive into the place where you think that you're a screw up, where you think that you have completely missed the mark, missed the opportunity, you weren't smart enough, you didn't take the right step at the right time, and letting the pain of that rise into your awareness. There's your medicine. Pull it all in. You can do it. And then waking up kind of in a refreshed new space. And I'll tell you, it's such a beautiful feeling having gone from experiences of self-loathing to experiences of self-loving, and being able to truly just wake up and have a deep appreciation for your journey, for your fortitude, for the moves that you made, even when you screwed up. I mean, look at how you were doing, and to truly feel that at your core and be in a state of joy over it. I can't tell you how profound that has been for me. And I would wish that on everyone.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I've had so many moments where I've released old traumatic situations and just felt like a new person on the spot. So it's a very freeing, liberating emotion that pops up that you don't even realize is already in you. You don't have to manifest it. You just have to get rid of what's covering it up. You know,
right? Or convert. You know,
convert. Yeah, just convert the energy.
It'll restore.
Uh-huh. So many people right now are under the impression that everything is external to them. Like they have to manifest energy, or they have to bring this in or that in. But I'm starting to realize that people don't understand that it's already within them. They just have to either convert or toggle, or, you know, just sweep off the dirt, you know, covering up the light. It's already there.
It's already there. Yeah. There isn't anything outside of you. Yeah. I truly believe that. And it's there in the middle of the hardest shit you feel.
Yeah.
But that's where it is, you know?
But one of the key words to all this is, like you said a minute ago, it's those values. Those values have been pre-programmed in us, you know, as when we're growing up as children. So depending on what those values are is how we view ourselves, is what we have as our beliefs of self, our beliefs of others, beliefs of the world. But if we're able to go in and correct what those values are, to see how those values are distorted, whether we need to lose some of these values, whether we need to update them, whether we need to change that value back to its original truth, and reset that value for how we want our lives to be, everything will essentially really fall into place after that point, because now you have a new belief of self. You can now become the things that you are wanting. As you understand it and as you become these things, that is where the transformation is taking place.
Mm.
All from changing a value of what you thought you were.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. And it changes everything. It changes everything. And the law of attraction definitely comes into play. As you change the way you feel about yourself and replace the hardship of that with a positivity, convert that hardship, if you will, then all things that are organized in the universe at that higher frequency are drawn in. Now that that ability to manifest your reality just reaches a new level. And the positivity within yourself draws the positivity within other people, draws, and everyone is functioning at a higher level. So all things are coming together with more synchronicity and less resistance. And everything becomes easier.
Yes, I love that you said that, less resistance right there.
Yeah.
That shows up so much, I've noticed, you know, just personal experience trying to manifest something or watching other people trying to manifest something. They get that resistance and they're not quite sure where it's, you know, coming from. And maybe they haven't quite found a certain value they haven't converted over yet. That's kind of blocking them a little
bit.
Yeah. And you feel that, you feel that resistance in your body.
Oh yeah.
That strain, that pressure.
Why isn't this happening?
Which is going to cause you to react accordingly, depending on how that pressure feels.
Yeah.
Yes. My granddaughter, she's so cute, because I'm always telling them that they need to, you know, when they're going through a resistance of some sort. I was like, just pull that in. She goes, Grandma, we're not supposed to toggle all of our emotions. We're supposed to feel something. And I said, you will always feel something. It's just nice if you can dictate you're going to feel something that's better.
That's beautiful. That's cute. Oh, my goodness.
But now they want to help me write a book about it for kids. So that's we're turning things around in a really nice way.
And see, that's another step right there of writing a children's book. That's massive, because now you're hitting the lowest level of humanity's learning, to where they can take anything from what you're teaching them and actually be able to elevate them even more through their experience of whatever they're going through in their lives with their families and their parents, and, you know, bullies at school or whatever. They were be if they're able to gain that resilience as a child, it's going to set them up for their future as being an adult.
Yeah, if you can.
Well, it'd be beautiful too if the parents are also learning as they're helping the children with the book. And that, you know, we've even got a vision that, you know, teachers will be able to help children by bringing this book in, and that parents can help kids and kids are helping parents. And
oh my God, what a compounding effect. I mean, if you can put it in a way that a child can understand it, and then you have, like you said, teachers and parents read that to them, get them to help them understand it. And the adults on some level are going to start to pick that up, you know, mm-hmm. and they're going to start, maybe that awakens that within them. And then that just starts taking off like wildfire across humanity.
Society has a chance to kind of start off on a new foot now.
Programming kids at that young of an age, that's going to change things into so much of a more positive direction. That's going to be such a profound thing right there.
Right. And also, you know, kind of employing kids to help write the book, you know, and I think it'll also speak to the parts of our, you know, as adults, the parts of ourselves that were hurt as children that will respond to lessons that are appropriate for children.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Get it from their point of view. And then also let it be known that kids helped write that book, so kids are into it. You know, it's not just adult content, you know. So some adult writing the book, is, you know, kids actually wrote it. That's going to really pull them in and draw their interest.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm really happy that you're doing that. Good for you, Lori.
I hope you see that through to the end, because that's going to be massive.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely. I'll keep you guys posted.
Beautiful.
Sweet.
Yes. You'll get one of the first copies.
Oh, thank you.
Nice.
Thank
you. Yeah.
I thought about writing a children's book. This is a little while back, but yeah, that's a good place to start. Yeah. Considering we all start as children, as this blank slate of this sponge that's taking in all this different stimuli of how we're supposed to be as a person, or, you know, how we should act in society. But if we start that off on a better, more positive foot, that's going to be leaps and bounds from where we are at the level of, you know, just the state of humanity in this moment.
Right. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, you figure,
it is so true.
You figure as a kid, your emotional compass is spinning round and round, and where it stops, nobody knows. But, you know, maybe like you and Russell said, with that knowledge, you know, or those books, kind of get that compass slowed mm-hmm. down a lot more and get it focused in more of a direction to give them a more confident starting point in their life to go from. And then, you know, maybe they're not growing up as screwed up as we were, you know, a little bit more understanding of life.
They have less lacks.
Less lack, yeah.
Right. And they just come out with a movie. Have you seen Soul?
Soul? No.
No.
Oh, yeah, you guys are really, I'm sure you will really get some juicy stuff off of this particular animated show. I think it's done by the same group, or at least some of the participants are similar to the Inside Out, where they personified all of the different emotions.
Okay.
Hmm. I was really interested in it because, you know, that's sort of the relationship that I had been developing as well. You relate to your emotions, but they did not necessarily incorporate any kind of a conversion idea in it, but just allowing the emotions to be expressed and seeing the value of every emotion as this young girl is going through a big, you know, trauma in her life with moving away from her friends. So they give you the inside picture of her mind and what's going on with her emotions, and then what's happening on the outside, and then the deep soul journeys of despair that are stepping off of this experience. Well, Soul is, I believe, kind of a sequel to that in a way, and just shows, you know, souls on the journey of looking for their healing, their path, and it was very deep.
What platform is that?
I believe Netflix or maybe Amazon Prime. It just came out. It's a relatively new movie. Okay. But you might look it up, because that might be some interesting stuff. I love that people are really diving into this part of our experience. I think toggling brings a whole new dimension to what they've already discovered. And, but I just love that, you know, from the standpoint of sort of mindfulness and sitting with your emotions and allowing them some expression within yourself and looking for the truth underneath. And it really lends itself to that part of the journey.
Yeah. It's going to take a multitude of things at this point in society to start to heal and reverse things and fix people. So it's,
yeah,
anything we can get out there to help people, it's, you know, just do anything you can to fix yourself.
It is starting to pick up.
Yeah.
There has been changes across the globe, and we're seeing it now that people are, you know, trying to fight against corruption and racism, and trying to become more harmonious. And it is getting there.
Yeah.
And the more people that wake up to their inner realities, it's just going to unfold itself even more, and more people are going to be teaching and sharing their experiences. It'll become more acceptable in society that this is a new way forward, and maybe the old way isn't really serving us anymore. And yeah, right. it is going to come around. Now, how long that takes, who knows? But, you know, definitely Jesse and I will do as much as we can to aid in this transformation through the podcast. But it is getting there. It's just we have to do it from the proper footing, the proper perspective, knowing that it's done in its truth and that it's in its focus from love, that's where all of this must stem from. If we don't understand what love and truth is yet, it's going to be hard to kind of navigate through that in a least distorted way.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's where this work is intriguing, Russell and Jesse, because you don't have to know what love is in order to get there. What you do is you have to know what the pain you're feeling is. Okay? Mm. That is the reality for an individual in a lot of pain. And that's the access point to the experience that they over time begin to recognize is the love, joy, peace. Okay? Mm-hmm. All you have to do is know the pain you're in. Focus on the pain you're in and pull the pain right into the center of your awareness. The conversion is very much the toggle switch. It converts to a high frequency. Now, that's kind of like walking into a friend's house when they have, you know, a whole different set of furniture and, you know, maybe your house is a cluttered mess and your parents are dysfunctional and you walk into somebody else's house when everything's in order and you're just taking it in. It's just a different experience. Over time, you begin to equate that with joy and progress and love, you know, but at first you're just sort of taken aback to just observe from that place. You don't have to be able to name it as joy and love immediately. But by converting it, that is what you're delivered into.
Yeah.
Yeah, love is what's already there. You don't need to try and obtain it. It's just naturally there.
Yeah.
But right. Exactly.
Yeah, we just got to realize that suppression and how we've been using that is what is holding us back from realizing all of this. That even we can go to self-medicate to suppress that even more. But to realize that bringing that out into the open, bringing it to the surface and working through that is our way forward. Suppression is completely, it's holding it back. It's suppressing it. It's not allowing you to access it.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's kind of like what you could almost equate it with maybe prejudice, you know, that we have had in our culture, that it has... Because we're moving more and more away from prejudice, the prejudice that exists had to stay suppressed.
Oh, yeah.
Then all of this stuff lights up and it becomes roaring to the surface. Now it appears to be worse than ever, but really what it is it's ready for its healing.
Yeah, it's coming up to the surface.
Because it's no longer been driven underground. It's going through a process, and now we just need to support this process as it goes through the next layer. And as that conversion takes place, whether it's naturally or we're deliberately doing it through a modality like this, our whole culture will elevate because we have uprooted some of the stuff that was suppressed and still, you know, this had a stronghold underneath the, you know, in sort of the subconscious of our culture.
Right.
I love this. The collective consciousness operates just like an individual consciousness.
It does. It's us. Yep. It's all coming up to the surface to be healed. And it's, like you said, although it looks like it's getting worse, it's not. It's just freshly exposed stuff that's always been there.
But it's how we're reacting to what's going on.
Yeah, it's our reaction to it,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
Right, right. If we get caught up in the hate and judgment part of it, then the healing process stalls right there.
Yep.
It'll just stall, and eventually it'll start to digress again. But if we take this opportunity and we stay, you know, we stay visceral with it and we're working with it and, you know, in my work, we're pulling it into the center of our mind, then eventually we move to a place of this calm and we won't really know what that love feels like because we've never been there before, but all of a sudden we're okay with stuff that we thought was awful before. That we're beginning to transform. The whole culture will transform and break away from these false judgments that are just hurting each other.
Yeah, that's we got to stop adding stories to things.
With the gaining of that love, it changes all of your interactions with other people. Yeah. All of the interactions with yourself, that the voice that you have in your mind won't be being so mean to you anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to start being more loving towards you, more accepting of yourself, which in turn makes you more accepting of others and how things are going on in your relationships and your external environment. You're able to accept more things and you really start to mature now. This maturing process is what essentially all of us should have been going through this entire time, but it's been this has been a part of the game for us to realize that, oh, wow, this is what we truly are as beings and going in this direction versus seeing society as being just like we have to be better than the next person. We have to have more stuff than the next person. We have to have a better job. We have to have a social status that's higher than other people. That's kind of going in a different direction. And it's not really helping humanity as a whole. If anything, it's making us more separated.
Yep.
But gaining right. our love for ourselves is the starting point to where it's going to start breaking down all of these systems and bring everything back to its core truth, everything.
Right, right. But now we've evolved with a knowledge. And that's one of the things that I think that we are coming into is that as children, and we have, let's just say we have a child that has a fair amount of positivity, natural, default, peace, love, joy, inspiration, gratitude. That child has limited knowledge base with that experience. But now as our humanity evolves, we go into these really deep, dark, dusty, musty, nasty places within ourselves. And then we go through the healing and we convert. We come back into remembering and back into the positivity. But now with this compassionate knowledge of both sides, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
And that was a gain that is going to change the further perceptions from that point. It's the constant gain is a constant evolution of all of those perceptions.
That's what we need to get people to see and understand is that's a gain. Going through that is a gain for you. I think people think right. that by healing themselves, they're going to be set back somehow. Like they're going to lose what they want or what they think they want.
Right. Yeah, there's a poem that is pretty awesome. Dear human, I hope you don't mind if I read this poem real quick.
No, go for it.
Let's see. Dear human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That is where you came from and where you will return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, messy love, sweaty love, crazy, broken love, whole love, infused with divinity, lived through the grace of stumbling, demonstrated through the beauty of messing up often. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed, fabulous, and then rise again into remembering. But unconditional love, stop telling that story. Love in truth doesn't meet any other objective. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up and do your best, that you stay present and feel fully, that you shine and fly, laugh and cry, hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's enough and it's plenty.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm blown away.
That was great. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. And then rise again into remembering. You can look at it. It's called Dear Human.
Dear Human. You're already enough.
you're already enough. And that's what we're rising into, that we're going to rise into with the memory of what we thought when we misunderstood that.
Yeah. You're already enough. Man, if we can get that into children, if we can get that into their heads, you're already enough.
Yeah.
And just have that as sort of the base level of knowledge right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it's all about the remembering of what we are, what we truly are.
Yeah, absolutely.
That this is what we are.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's awesome.
It's just waiting for us to remember.
Yeah.
That's the whole goal.
I talk to my body and I say, you know, you've been through so much. Thank you for being there for me. Yeah. Boy, you've gone through a lot of headache with me and my issues. I really appreciate you for sticking around.
Our bodies get beat up, too. Yeah, we're pretty
they
rough
do.
On our
They're
bodies.
Underappreciated.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a vessel. It's, of course, not all of what we are, but it's a vessel. It's an icon of our idea of our identity.
It is, too.
But it's still forgiving as well. Being in that place and talking to your body that way, you've already been forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful too, because we can, if we're able to see and feel and know that everyone else around us, they've already been forgiven, and you as an individual, you as a spirit, as a being, has already been forgiven as well.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a step right. back and seeing that and knowing that, it completely changes how you view reality, how you view the world, how you view spirituality, how you view God. Knowing that you've already been forgiven, so what else is there for you to put out there into the world now?
Just creative juiciness.
And you have the beauty and capability to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you imagine creating as a whole and complete version of yourself instead of a version with all that trauma going on.
You imagine right.
Yeah.
And letting the creation itself be the source of your healing. As you create, it's always going to challenge, you know, your value. And so you let that challenge be the next piece that you transform, and then you get it, and then the creation begins to take on yet another evolution.
Yep.
As you evolve, your creation evolves. It's like one and the same.
Yeah, you're always evolving, just like you're always learning. You're never done.
You know, right.
Just, it really comes down to how far you get in this lifetime, really.
Yeah, get as far as you can while you're here.
Yeah, get as far as you can. Maybe
in the moment.
Yeah, say not. Maybe not necessarily like what you create, but how far you get with yourself.
Yeah, it's how you're creating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let what you create be a byproduct of how healed you become, how much progress you make.
When you make things out of a joyful place, then it brings joy to people that you share your creation with. And they make something out of a joyful place and they want to share it with you, and then it just starts to magnify the experience of joy, you know?
And everybody's keeping everybody filled with joy and happiness.
Right.
Because you know if something has been created with love, with joy, because it emanates it. You just feel it. You know it. And it's contagious. It's gonna make other people want to do the same thing, want to find why that is the way that is. Mm. What makes that so powerful? Because for some reason, that's way more powerful than all this other negativity and stuff that's going on out there. This has capability for, yes, and it has the capability for true change.
Yep. it resonates with the part of ourself that has never been separate from creation, from God, the part of ourself that still resonates at that level of high frequency, which is our truth. That's why we heal when we hit high frequencies. It's not necessarily because that frequency heals everything. It's because that is the frequency that you are in balance. You were created in that frequency. When you veer away from that frequency, you go into lack of health. You go into pain. When you retain or return to that frequency, healing is nothing more than just the correction has taken place and the body now finds balance.
Yeah, I love that you said that. That's perfect. I think so many times I've struggled to put it that way, but you put that beautifully.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I love getting groups of people together to talk about this kind of work, because somebody can put something in a way that you've struggled to or maybe haven't quite thought of yet.
Just hearing it from that different perspective sheds a new light on it. It gives you a different level of understanding.
Yeah, that's why I always say I wish there was more of us that we could just sit down and talk, you know, and then just really get ideas flowing and just not only fill in our own gaps in our own knowledge, but that would allow us to be more whole and complete teachers for everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's coming.
It's coming, yeah.
It's coming.
I want it now.
Yeah. Pull that in.
Pull it in.
Feel that impatience?
Yeah, sometimes I get impatient and I want everybody to start healing now, and I just got to remind myself that that's not, you can't get everybody to do that all at once. It's everything's got to happen the way it's got to happen.
Yeah. And actually you may, as you pull in the impatience, you may start to recognize that it's happening in ways you hadn't even been able to perceive, and it's happening at a bigger level than you saw otherwise.
Yeah.
Because impatience, when you pull it in, it's in the same range with anger and frustration. And when it converts into insights, and you'll gain insights. You may find that, wow, the healing is 10 times more than I saw before. It is happening at a different level.
Yeah, you know, I just have to keep reminding myself that, you know, Source knows more than you, and just be patient. It's just because you can't see what's happening doesn't mean nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say, get impatient and then pull it in.
Pull it in.
Impatient. All right. I see you there. Impatient. I know. But how about if I just pull you in and convert you so that you're not creating that tension anymore. I've got a different job for you. And then you just pull it all in. And then the mind starts to sparkle with some new thoughts, new insights.
Yeah, I love that. Get some new insight. That's new, like, ammo, new fuel for your next part of your mission.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's exactly what impatience delivers.
Because how much...
It's got its own mission.
Yeah, and how much impatience is rooted through the rest of that subconscious programming? Impatience is going to be attached to other things. So as you gain patience... Now, those areas that were affected with impatience have now gained patience. So other aspects of your life will be changed just because of that, not just from that one instance, but all other instances that impatience affects.
Yeah.
Yes. And impatience itself, we rush through things. We don't, it's almost like eating your food way too fast. Okay, you can have a beautiful meal in front of you, but if you eat it too fast, you won't taste good. But if you convert the impatience, you get to this, then it feeds into this measured enjoyment that then every morsel, you can eat half as much and get twice the joy out of it.
Yeah, it's about... As humans, we got to remind ourselves it's about the experience, not about how quickly you can go from point A to point B. Just be in the moment,
right.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what's next.
Sometimes we hurry up and we get there, and then we hurry past it. Then we have to turn around and go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that, you know, things like that go back to, you know, say like when you're a kid and there's a TV show on you want to watch, but it's dinner time. So your mom says, you got to sit down and eat dinner, but I want to watch a TV show. She goes, well, if you, you know, hurry up, you can catch what's left of it on TV. So you shovel the food down so that way you can catch the rest of your TV show so you don't miss it, you know. So that's learned behavior as a child.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And now we have Netflix. We can just put everything on pause. But it hasn't necessarily afforded us the conversion of impatience.
It's moved somewhere else in our life.
It's moved somewhere else. Yeah. And I tell people that. I said, you know what? You can remove the thing you're worried about, but worry itself needs to be reprogrammed, because all your brain's going to do is have a nanosecond of contentment, and then it's going to immediately start worrying about something else.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
So if you tend to the outside stuff, you don't really get there. You need to tend to the inside, and the outside automatically adjusts.
Yeah, it's when that mind starts to wander, is trying to find that next thing that it needs to focus on, when all it really needs to worry about or just be concerned about is just what's going on in the moment.
Yeah, as you figure, worry just comes from lack or fear of lack, or, you know, I don't have this or whatever, and then it just compounds from there.
Right. And worry itself is energy, and energy always wants expression.
Oh, yeah.
And in physics, you either express it, you suppress it, or you convert it. And that's what we're doing with this work. We take that worry or the impatience, we pull it in, it converts it, and it's still energy, it still wants expression. And now it's going to express itself in a higher frequency as contentment, as inspiration.
Yeah, we need to get people to realize that. That's contentment, convert that energy. Well, Lori, are you on a time limit?
I am, and it's about time for me to go.
I was going to say, yeah, we're coming up about an hour 50 here, so.
Yeah. No, this was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This was fantastic.
Yeah, this has been amazing. Well, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us again and talking to us again. This has been a blessing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lori.
Oh, yeah. You are welcome, and I'd be delighted any other time. So you just let me know.
Oh, yes, we'll get that scheduled immediately then.
Immediately, ma'am. Immediately.
Okay.
Can't wait. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you guys.
Awesome.
You guys out there in the audience, Lori Huesinger, you go check out her books on Amazon, I believe, Toggle It and The Toggle Effect. Wonderful books. Get yourself some copies and start learning some stuff, learning how to convert your energies.
And she also has her own website, toggleeffect.com.
The Toggle Effect.
The Toggle Effect.
It has to be the. That's right. The's got to be there.
Okay. The Toggle Effect.
And you have a YouTube channel as well, right, where you teach it?
I do not. I mean, I have a YouTube video out there that talks people through the basic technique, the basic steps of the technique. So if they look for the Toggle Effect tutorial, they will find that on YouTube.
Which that is a powerful
video.
So
yeah, that is out there as well.
Yeah,
it is.
Yep.
Yep. So
and I teach classes online, and I do private consultations and stuff. So there's lots of different ways to get the help, and I teach practitioners.
Beautiful. All right, you guys out there, go check her out and start getting your energies converted over. Be good to yourselves.
Love yourselves.
Yeah.
All right, Lori. Well, we want to get you out of here on time. And again, thank you. And we appreciate you. And hopefully we get to do this again soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, Russell and Jesse, thank you so much. I really appreciate what you guys are doing here and inviting me in. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Will do.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay.
That was beautiful.
Oh, that was awesome. I love talking to her.
She's amazing. It's just, you know what, 2 hours is just never enough, because there's, I know, there was things I wanted to like say that I couldn't, because you know all three people got to say something. So you know,
yeah,
we all have those things that we want to get slide in there, but we couldn't. So it's just like,
yeah,
and that's why I keep going back to, I wish we could all get together in person or something and just hang out and just, you know, grab a cup of coffee and just BS the night away and just figure stuff out, you know?
Yeah. Really need like several hours set aside to be able to just talk at this level, because really we really just kind of skim the surface, you know, on a few topics, but the power of the message that was there, man, I'm glad that we were able to start it off on the foot of memories.
Yeah.
We do need to look and see what our memories started from.
Yeah.
Where they came from, how they're continuing. If they're affecting us in a negative way,
yeah,
then dive into those memories and find the source of what is causing the suffering from that memory. Be surprised of how liberating that will be once we actually find the sources of all the tension inside of us, why it's there.
Yeah, and I think another key component of that is stopping the idea that your memories are you, because that alone keeps people holding on to those memories, not wanting to even go down that road of even trying to get rid of them. They're not you. It's an experience that happened in the past, and whatever happened is what happened. But it doesn't make you who you are as a person. It's just something that happened, and it's okay to let go of whatever it may be or may not be.
Yeah.
Especially the negative ones. That being said, that's 2 hours right there. Hopefully our audience is still with us and hanging in there. And for those of you who are still here, thank you. We love you.
Yeah, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much, and bless every single one of you. You guys are awesome. You guys are, you're going through your journey at whatever level it is, and we're backing you up. We love you so much.
Yeah.
And you guys can do it, because you already are doing it.
You are doing it. Yeah, you don't have to try. You are.
Yeah.
You are doing it. Yeah. Well, that being said, as always, spiritpower369@gmail.com and evolutionthroughascension@gmail.com and podcast_theory@Instagram. For any of you who have any questions, comments, concerns, or you know, if there's anything you want us to ask Lori or pass on to her or whatever, let us know.
Yep. All right, we love you guys.
Love you.
See you on the next one.
And we'll see you around the corner.
Bye, guys.
Bye.